Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 23, Chapter 8, The Story of Pingala. The Brahmana continued, a saintly person should never touch a young girl. In fact, he should never even let his foot touch a wooden doll in the shape of a woman. By bodily contact with a woman, he will surely be captured by illusion, just as the elephant is captured by the she-elephant due to his desire to touch her body. A man possessing intelligent discrimination should not, under any circumstances, try to exploit the beautiful form of a woman for his sense gratification, just as an elephant trying to enjoy a she-elephant is killed by other bull elephants also enjoying her company. One trying to enjoy a lady's company can at any moment be killed by her other lovers, who are stronger than he. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, attachment to touch is the cause of destruction, right? Because before then, Sridhar Swami. He had mentioned, because form was brought up as the foremost of that, but then Sridhar Swami in the commentary had mentioned that all five senses, each one of them, are destructive. Right? So then now he's starting to go through all those. But he brought form as the first. And then from there, then it's touch. Because from form, then here we see from form, then comes touch. From that, all these other aspects come. Does that make sense?
A particular example of Bilomangal Thakur. He plucks his eyes, you know, because of seeing the form of form.
Yes, from form, yes. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's always, that always has the aspect. Point is it can start anywhere. That's the point, is that the desire to control and enjoy the material nature is whatever there's an opportunity.
Yes.
That's the whole point, is that the living entity then, by nature, means the conditioned nature, they're looking for ways to enjoy. So whenever we look at situations, and within the situation we try to find something that we feel we can get some benefit from.
Yes.
Right? And if there's no benefit in that situation, we can't find any, then the point is, why am I here?
Yes.
Right? Or someone else is finding something that they can, speculate on enjoyment, they're comfortable in that situation, but someone else is not. You understand? So it's just according to the modes one's under, then what situations or what facilities within situations then you feel that you can take and apply within the idea of trying to enjoy.
Yes.
Right? Because the soul being Ananda, then the tendency is there to enjoy. But Ananda means the enjoyment has to be in connection with Krishna.
Yes.
Right? And so if you leave Krishna out, then we strive for enjoyment. But it's something that you can't get, seeing that it's Krishna that's giving the potency. Right? Because here, never touch a young girl. In fact, never a wooden doll in the shape of a woman. Why? Because Krishna's potency is there. We have to remember, the girl is just dead matter. Right? And the wooden doll is dead matter. But Krishna empowers that form. That's why it's attractive. Right? You understand? Because the idea is that the feminine form or the feminine nature is Krishna's energy, then being in the Sarup Shakti, being devoted to Krishna, then all these different aspects and the senses are being engaged to please Krishna. Like, as we saw before, if we took that same sentence and read it connected with Krishna, then it sounded perfectly fine. So the living entities, then they get distracted by this. So the point is you have to be aware it's not just any sense, it's all the senses.
Yes.
But we see is that from the sight, from what we see, that's where we're going to start everything. generally when you see something, then from there, then you start speculating.
Yes.
But you could also be from hearing something, smelling something. You know, you're walking down the road, smell something nice, and you go, ooh, what's that? You know, it's like, you know, you, is that, you know, just, it starts. Something starts.
Yes.
And yeah, you go, and then you go until you can see. Right? You smell, now you can see. And then from seeing, then like this, you want to touch. From touching, you want to taste it. You know, so it just goes through the stages. So that's the whole point, is that you have both the specific duties, but you also have that overall. Because if we're taking that the nature of the woman is representing the material energy, that means we should give up trying to enjoy material energy. And how is that? That we're seeing it in connection with Krishna, the service to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's what it gets. So by one thing, you can do so many aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So many aspects are there. So it's not just this one, it's just a point. It's just a Dharma Shastra, because this has been said in the Dharma Shastra. Right? But the point is that a saintly person, so it doesn't mean what ashram or varna they're in. It just means someone who's dedicated to Krishna. It's not about trying to enjoy the senses. Right? That's what makes them saintly. Because you're connecting yourself to Krishna and not connecting yourself to Krishna's energies without Krishna.
Yes.
So if you're always connected to Krishna, means everything you're dealing with, then you're seeing in relation to Krishna. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah? Attachment to touch is a cause of destruction. Thus he learned from the elephant. Right? So either because his desire to touch the she-elephant, and then either he gets into trouble or he's killed by the other male elephants who also have the same idea. Because the point is at this point, is that it's not that you're using intelligence. It's not that I'm this big and the other elephant is way bigger than me. Like that. The brain doesn't work like that. You know, like that. Or it's by the trapper. He senses it because he has a trained female elephant that will come and then lead him through a path, and she knows how to walk around the hole. He doesn't. He falls into it. Right? Because you'll see, the girl will move this way, that way. The guy just goes straight. So if she moves around the hole, he won't suspect it. Right? Yeah. It's well thought out. This is explained in two verses. One should not touch a young woman, even with one's foot, and should not even touch a wooden form of a woman, right? So that means all the sitting in restaurants and then all the feet under the table stuff, then it's saying one shouldn't do that, right? If you're interested in spiritual development, yeah. The elephant, seeing the female elephant, falls into a hole covered with grass and is trapped. The Brahmana continued. A greedy person accumulates a large quantity of money with great struggle and pain. But the person who has struggled so much to acquire this wealth is not always allowed to enjoy it himself or give it in charity to others. Right? So even if you're thinking, I will give this in charity, right? You know, as either beforehand or as Govinda Namo, you know, it's going anyway, so, you know. Like that. You have to pay this much tax anyway, so you might as well give it charity. But yeah. The greedy man is like the bee who struggles to produce a large quantity of honey, which is then stolen by a man who will enjoy it personally or sell it to others. No matter how carefully one hides his hard-earned wealth or tries to protect it, there are those who are expert in detecting the whereabouts of valuable things, and they will steal it. Right, because there's only so many places you can hide things. Right? And so then, being thieves themselves, they know the spots.
Mm.
Right? And so then, they'll just look at those spots.
Mm.
Does that make sense? You know, it's like that, what do you call it? The British fleet, they're having so much problems with pirates, and especially one pirate. He was the biggest of all the pirates. Somehow or another, they captured him, and offered him, you know, a post. And they would pay him really well. You know, give him all facilities and this and that. And so then he, being the biggest of all the pirates, he knew all the tricks of all the pirates, and so he went and subdued all the other pirates.
Yeah.
Like that. So like that. Then the thief, because, you know, everybody's stealing from Krishna, the ones that make a profession out of it knows where you hide your stuff. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "Wealth accumulated without giving or enjoying is taken by others. The beekeeper teaches this. Another person who is stronger enjoys what is collected by another person. Just as a person enjoys honey gathered by the bees," right? So the bees gather, and then someone else enjoys that. So other people are working hard, and then someone else who's bigger and more clever, they are enjoying, you know, what they get. "How can another person understand one has wealth when one hides it? Some persons understand wealth by certain symptoms in another person and how to get it, art of it. The honey collector knows where to get the honey in the hollow of the tree by following the bees." But if he sees bees are always going, then he knows. You know. The Brahmana continued, "Just as a hunter takes away the honey laboriously produced by the honeybees, similarly, saintly mendicants such as brahmacharis and sannyasis are entitled to enjoy the properly painstakingly accumulated by householders dedicated to family enjoyment." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "One should enjoy without endeavor. The honey collector is the teacher for this. Yatis cha brahmachari cha pakvan na swamin nav ubhau tayor annam aratva tu buktva chandrayanam charet." The sannyasi and brahmachari should take the food cooked by the householder. If a householder does not give them food and eats it himself, he should perform atonement by observing the Chandrayana vow. Parasara Smriti 151. And Parasara is the nice one.
That's also like Himana?
Yeah, this is Parasara Smriti. So it's specifically, it's written by Parasara, but it's specifically for Kali Yuga. Right? So in other words, the whole point is that the householder is giving in charity. Like that. That's what, because otherwise then he has to follow a Chandrayana vow. Do we all know Chandrayana?
Mm-hmm.
No? No one knows Chandrayana? No?
We give in charity.
You give in charity. Oh, just to inspire you. The standard Chandrayana would be, you can start either on the new moon or on the full moon. Right? But the rule is, on the new moon, you take no food. On the first day after the new moon, you get one mouthful of food. Then the second day, you get two, three, up to the full moon, which you get 15. Then it goes back down to zero. So you can either start full moon to zero to full moon, or you can start, you know, from nothing up to, you know, 15 in the middle and down like that. Or if that's too difficult for you, you can take 8 mouthfuls every day, and that's all. And that's one time a day. It means you can, some you also, if they have, because they have different ways to break it up. If it's difficult for you, then you could take, you know, 2 at this time, 2 that time, like this. Or take, you know, 4 and 4, or all 8 at once. Or, you know, take it in the morning, or take it in the evening, take it in the afternoon, you know, like this. But whatever it is, you only get 8 mouthfuls. Because if you add it all up, what you get, it's equivalent to 8 mouthfuls a day. But the standard one is you're going to start from, I think you start from nothing up to full moon down to that. So that's Chandrayana. So it's given charity or Chandrayana vow. As you please.
And if nothing, then? If neither this nor that, then what?
If?
Then the reaction is very strong, because if you.
I mean, if the action is not so strong, then the Chandrayana is worse, and giving away stuff is worse, so we'll just stick to our guns. And
because even Ekadashi is very difficult for the devotees to follow, and I don't think Chandrayana anybody follows as such.
I'm sure there are people who do follow, but we're not going to hear about them.
One smart guy, who had done this Chandrayana.
Oh, he'd done it once.
Once.
Yeah. It was a standard thing before. Many times people would do it during the, you know, any kind of, when they're doing vows or things, or you can also do it as part of the Chaturmas, you know, these things. It's just, it was a standard vows, but now it's like, you know, how you say? Not eating before you brush your teeth. Now that's, you know, an endeavor. Depending on where you're from, it's like, yeah, okay. That's, what? Yeah, give it time.
That would be the champagne.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We sentence you to not eating before you brush your teeth. Oh, no! Yeah, okay. The Brahmana continued. A saintly person dwelling in the forest in the renounced order of life should never listen to songs or music promoting material enjoyment. Rather, a saintly person should carefully study the example of the deer, who is bewildered by the sweet music of the hunter's horn and is thus captured and killed. Becoming attracted to the worldly singing, dancing, and musical entertainment of beautiful women, even the great sage Rishyashringa, the son of Mrigi, fell totally under their control, just like a pet animal. While describing the Magadha dynasty, Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, when the demigods from the heavenly planets failed to shower rain, Rishyashringa was appointed the priest for performing a sacrifice. After being brought from the forest by the allurement of prostitutes, who danced, staged theatrical performances, accompanied by music, and embraced and worshipped him. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:23-8-9. Because, so Rishyashringa, why it's mentioned him, he didn't even know what a woman was. So when these six girls came, like that, they dressed as rishis. So he just thought they're rishis, and he asked, you know, where they're from. They're from the heavenly planets, so then people all over the universe have different forms. So he just thought, okay, well, these are heavenly planet rishis. He didn't know that they were half-naked girls, right? And so they would sing, dance, and feed him, and just hang out, and like this. So he didn't know what was happening, like that. His father came along. He knew what was happening. Like that. But the point is that just because they were singing, dancing, you know, doing all these things, music, feeding him nicely, taking care, talking nice subjects, you know, whatever rishis like to talk about, they would talk that and all these things. And so he became very, very attracted. He didn't understand the potency of the illusory energy. Like that. Then when they brought him, because they put him on they made a boat that looked like a island. You know, with ashram and everything on it. So it looked like a small ashram. So they invited him to their ashram. And then while they spent the night, then the people underneath, managing the boat, then they rowed the boat down to the kingdom, this Magadha kingdom. So in the morning, when, you know, he came out of the hut, he's in a different place. It's like, what's this, you know? But, you know, heavenly planet ashram, hey, they travel around, so... Right. Then they appointed him the priest.
Yeah. So this principle is butter and fire. It is not that the butter is now cognizant of what is the nature of fire and this and that.
No. Yeah. It's just the way it works. Because people don't know. It's like that. Even I mean, unless there's training, even girls don't understand it. Like that. So the whole point is because what we saw before, even the wooden form of a woman, the doll, then it's Krishna's potency that makes it work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see, the girls, they all have Barbie and Ken, but no one talks about Ken. All the advertisements are about Barbie. If you get Barbie, Ken comes along with it, right? You know. Does Barbie have shoes? Yes. So Ken's there also. It works. Does that make sense? It's just, so it's empowered, and that's how it works. Does that make sense? So that whole... The Brahmana continued, just as a fish, incited by the desire to enjoy his tongue, is fatally trapped in the fisherman's hook. Similarly, a foolish person is bewildered by the extremely disturbing urges of the tongue and is thus ruined. By fasting, learned men quickly bring all of their senses except the tongue under control. Because by abstaining... from eating, such men are afflicted with an increased desire to gratify the sense of taste. So they fast, they bring the other senses under control, but not taste, because it just gets more. Yeah. Although one may conquer all the other senses, as long as the tongue is not conquered, it cannot be said that one has controlled his senses. However, if one is able to control the tongue, then one is understood to be in full control of the senses. Right? Because from the tongue, then is the belly, then the genitals. It just goes together, like eating, sleeping, right? Then mating. Right, because you eat so much, you get tired. After resting, then you feel energetic. Then is sex. Then after that, then you get attached to that. Now defending. So it's just a, you know. So it starts with eating. Right? I'd say, yeah. It means if you're going to start the process, you know, babies aren't stupid, right? They start with anamoy, with eating. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The moth is destroyed by attraction to form. The bee is destroyed by attraction to smell. The elephant is destroyed by attraction to touch. The deer is destroyed by attraction to sound. The fish is destroyed by attraction to taste. It has been said, the deer, elephant, moth, bee, and fish are destroyed by the five sense objects. How can an insane person who engages all senses in the five sense objects not be destroyed?" Garuda Purana 1:15:21. The tongue, which endows the other senses with their functions by eating food, right? Because when you don't eat food, the other senses become weaker. That's why you can control them, right? But somehow or another, the tongue doesn't become controlled by fasting. The tongue, which endows the other senses with their functions by eating food, is the cause of obstacles. Therefore, one should make efforts to control it. This is explained in two verses. If one gives up eating, one conquers all the senses except the tongue. The urge of the tongue increases by fasting. If one eats, all senses become agitated by the attachment to taste. Therefore, one must conquer the tongue. Then all the senses following it will be conquered. One can control the tongue by developing a taste for chanting loudly the name of Krishna. It is said, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. One who refrains from eating also stops the sense objects from functioning, but the desire for taste remains. Having experienced the higher taste, one can stop the desire for material taste. Bhagavad Gita 2:59. Right? So when the tongue is engaged in chanting and tasting prasad, that's how it's controlled. Right? So it's always chanting, always then tasting prasad. Yes. Then you see that it becomes controlled. And then by that, one gets purified, and then it comes to the point where one's not looking at things from sense gratification. Because you can say, oh, but I could eat prasad all day. Yes, like that. And by doing so, you'll get purified. And by becoming purified, then one will start to lose the interest in eating food just to, you know, for the taste. But one will appreciate the aspect of Krishna. You know, when it will become regulated. And in that, then you'll see all the other senses become regulated. Right? So that's why it's so important, the aspect of prasad in, you know, the Vaishnava culture in general and the Gaudiya culture, you know, specifically. Does that make sense? It means all the Vaishnavas, and it means even the whole Vedic, it's all... prasad is very central, but the Vaishnavas especially, they make the festivals and all that. Does that make sense? But they tend to be a bit formal. The Gaudiyas, then, it doesn't have that formality. So it takes more of a prominence then. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sung, O Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths to death. Somehow, we have fallen into this ocean of material sense enjoyment, and of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world, but you, dear Krishna, are very kind to us and have given us such nice prasadam just to control the tongue. Now we take this prasadam to our full satisfaction and glorify the Lordship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and in love call for the help of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. yes. You have something in your bag?
Prasadam, you don't have prasadam.
Yes. When was the last time you heard it in English? In the local language. Everyone now says the Bengali, but I'm not even sure if everybody even knows the English. Before it was just, you just said it in English.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Because nobody knew the yeah. That took time. That started in India, they would say it. But in the West, they'd always say it in English.
I don't know, we didn't know how to offer food, so we offered with this prayer.
That'll work.
Sounded good.
Yeah, yeah, it works. And then after that, you just eat. So serve out the plate, say the prayer, and it's all offered. And how you go? Verses 22 to 44, the story of Pingala. The Brahmana continued, O son of kings, previously in the city of Videha, there dwelt a prostitute named Pingala. Now please hear what I have learned from that lady. Once that prostitute, desiring to bring a lover into her house, stood outside in the doorway at night, showing her beautiful form. O best among men, this prostitute was very anxious to get money. And as she stood on the street at night, she studied all the men who were passing by, thinking, oh, this one surely has money. I know he can pay the price. And I am sure he would enjoy my company very much. Thus she thought about all the men on the street. As the prostitute Pingala stood in the doorway, many men came and went, walking by her house. Her only means of sustenance was prostitution, and therefore she anxiously thought, maybe this one who is coming now is very rich. Oh, he is not stopping, but I am sure someone else will come. Surely this man who is coming now will want to pay me for my love, and he will probably give lots of money. Thus, with vain hope, she remained leaning against the doorway, unable to finish her business and go to sleep. Out of anxiety, she would sometimes walk out towards the street, and sometimes she went back into her house. In this way, the midnight hour gradually arrived. As the night wore on, the prostitute, who intensely desired money, gradually became morose, and her face dried up. Thus, being filled with anxiety for money and most disappointed, she began to feel a great detachment from her situation. And happiness arose in her mind. The prostitute felt disgusted with her material situation, and thus became indifferent to it. Indeed, detachment acts like a sword, cutting to pieces the binding network of material hopes and desires. Now please hear from me the song sung by the prostitute in that situation. O king, just as a human being who is bereft of spiritual knowledge never desires to give up his false sense of proprietorship over many material things. Similarly, a person who has not developed detachment never desires to give up the bondage of the material body. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't developed detachment, you don't want to give up the attachment to the body. Right? So the entanglement that the body has, then without detachment, you can't look at it and use the intelligence. Because otherwise one will just be absorbed in it. Not that you won't use the intelligence how to speculate, how to improve your material situation. But what we mean is you can't look at it just with intelligence without the pushing of the mind.
Yes.
So that's why then there's so much emphasis on developing that aspect of detachment. Because it's not about detachment. Just like we had the discussion before about developing the mode of goodness. Then one gets situated, because without passion and ignorance, then you don't have that material desire or illusion. So then one's willing to perform one's duties properly. But it's not about the mode of goodness. It's about coming to pure goodness, devotion to Krishna. So in the same way, it's not about detachment, or knowledge. It's about coming to the point of appreciating Krishna consciousness and giving up material attachment.
This comes after some disappointment.
Yes, that's one of the ways. Means there'll always be disappointment in the material world. So, if you're following, even you follow everything nicely, in the mode of goodness, do all your duties, there's always going to be disappointment. Because even it's all perfect, and even you get perfect results, and all the things that you're looking for, they can't satisfy the soul. So at some point, one will become disappointed. Mm-hmm. So in that position, then one can contemplate actually the alternative. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, but otherwise, then one can't.
So we, can we say that this disappointment is a turning point?
Yes. Yes. And then for those who don't have any regulation and everything, they're simply working in passion and ignorance, you know, totally controlled by the modes there, then their disappointments will be very severe. So then they have those windows after that disappointment where they could, if they contacted devotees, take up Krishna consciousness. But, you know, but it's you don't know when that window will come. And you don't know how long it will last. So it's not a regular, so it's the way it's not a recommended as a process. Right? The process is you go through, you perform your duties, then whatever's coming by that, then you try to be satisfied with that. But the problem is it doesn't matter how much or little you have or what it is or what the quality is, it will never satisfy the soul. Even though we'll say, oh, I'd be satisfied if I had this. But we never will be. Even if we got that, we'll say it's nice, but then next time we'll, you know. The guy's starving, right? You know, even if I had just a little, you know, crust of bread, that would be... So he gets that, he's happy, but he thinks next time if it was more than the crust. Yeah, you know, and then the next time, then he wants butter. And the next time, you know, could you put a little cheese on it, a little mustard? And, yeah, like that. You know, so it just keeps going.
It's, without the meeting of a devotee or guidance of a devotee, it's impossible to go...
No, you just keep going around and around. That's samsara, you just go around. So the only way is if you contact a devotee coming in the parampara.
Yes.
Then that starts the Agyata Sukriti. Now, if that's regular, then the Agyata Sukriti will build to the point where it then turns into Shraddha, or faith. But it's only through the association of devotees. It's not that, oh, I'm so smart and I'm so intelligent, I wanted to know the absolute truth, and that's not going to get you anywhere. It may bring you more to goodness, may bring you in contact with the knowledge and this and that, but it won't bring devotion. It won't put you on the path of devotion. Like that. But the point is this detachment, it will make you give up the path of whatever it is, you know, that one's, well, the material endeavor one's on. Now, if you come in contact with devotional service, then you'll look at that seriously. Right? And if not, then they'll just be grumpy for a while, and then they'll, you know, think of a new way that they could approach it, and then they're inspired again. You know, it's like the, what do you call it? I don't know, it's a famous one. I wouldn't have the context or anything, but the French existential guy, he's decided that that's it. He's, you know, he's ending it all because that's, of course, the solution to all the problems. And so he drives his car, you know, he drives his car onto the train track. The train's coming. You see the train coming and all this and that. It comes and it goes, and then you think that that's it, you know, because, you know, how they do it, how they shoot it, the music and all that. Then the train goes by. And then his car's still sitting there. He was on the wrong track. Right? You know that one?
Yes.
Yes, it must be a famous one.
This
that
is famous.
One.
This is also in Bollywood.
Huh?
This is very famous.
No, but it was originally in France. So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But actually, you don't know it. Everybody in the world, Hollywood, France, they all get their stuff from Bollywood.
Okay.
Like that. So when they do the first showing before it actually goes out to the public, they show it to the whole international, you know, group of directors and playwrights and all that, or screenwriters and that. And after they view it, and all, then it goes out to the public for making money. And then, you know, by that mercy, then all these people go back to their countries, and then they think about it, and they translate it into a theme in their own local country, and then like that, and they, you know, in that way, then they're able to maintain themselves at the mercy of the Bollywood, you know, how you say, producers. Does that sound about right? Too?
I have doubt.
You have a doubt? Oh, my God.
No.
Okay. Great doubt. So, right? And then he sits there and he thinks, and then the music starts up, and then he gets some new idea, and he drives off, and he's happy.
And
so,
c'est la vie.
Yes, c'est la vie. That's the whole point, is that these kind of, you know, I think they call it noir.
Yes.
Yeah, these kind of dark kind of themes and that, but then you have the ones that'll end like that, because just to do, but there's also one where then it'll just turn, the music will turn, they become happy and they go off. You don't know what's going to happen, but it just leaves you on a good note, so. Like that. So that's the whole point. It gets bad, but then that window will close.
Yes.
So that's why it's very dangerous following the sadhana of malechas and yavanas. Because when that window will come, you don't know how long it will be there. And the point is then the most important thing is whether they'd even contact a devotee. So that's why in the Vedic system there's more of a chance of contacting a devotee. Because it's just like, let's say, for the grihastha, inviting saintly persons to the house, feeding saintly persons, doing yajnas, doing pujas, all these things in which they bring Brahmins and that within that you might have a Vaishnava. And then you would hear the proper thing. So bhakti is written into karma and jnana, though whether you'll actually get the benefit is another thing. But because of that, so if devotees come, then you invite. I remember we'd be doing programs, traveling. You go to some new areas, never seen devotees before. You do a program, so many people will be there, and then from being there, they'll invite, why don't you come to our house? You know? And so then from there, they'll invite their family and friends. Right? And then from there, it'll just keep going. So you can just spend, you know, a whole month in the city going around. Because it's the nature to ask saintly people over to the house. You know, you're supposed to have harikata, there's supposed to be prasad, you know, some puja, you know, some kirtan. It's just standard. So they just think it's just a regular thing you do. Which it is, but it should be that it's always devotees. But they'll, you know, just somehow or another just carry on. Right? So the Vedic system is designed for this. So then, therefore, there's knowledge, there's these things, and then, so there's a natural practice. And then from that, then this comes. So if you have actual knowledge when this detachment comes, then you'll apply it to advantage. But if you don't have knowledge or haven't contacted the devotees, then you may not be able to take proper advantage of this detachment. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, detachment is the sword for cutting the ropes produced by hopes for material enjoyment. Because there's ropes and you think that by that you can catch something. But you always find that when you pull on the rope, then it's just a frazzled end. It's not connected to anything. But you know, then there's another rope, maybe this one. You know, like that, yeah. The prostitute Pingala said, just see how greatly illusioned I am. Because I cannot control my mind, just like a fool, I desire lusty pleasure from an insignificant man. I am such a fool that I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually most dear to me. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who is the bestower of real love and happiness and the source of all prosperity. Because she's thinking that by spending time with these people on the road, you know, they'll come to her house, that then, affection will be there, prosperity will be there, happiness will be there, all that will come by this. But she says that, you know, she's forgotten the one who actually is there, who actually is a friend, who actually can bestow all happiness and prosperity. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. Right? But by mental speculation, you think the next guy will be better. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, the Lord is in my heart, the enjoyer, Ramanam. Why do I not give love to him? He gives love. Why would he not give love to me? What is the use of other men who are full of sin? He gives wealth, means Krishna. Being pleased with my love, he will give the greatest wealth. Right? So that's the love for Krishna. That's the greatest wealth. Mm-hmm. Others are not capable of giving full satisfaction. In this way, she thought of the Lord. Some authorities say that she thought in this way by the great mercy of Dattatreya, who happened to rest in her yard that night. Footnote 9. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.32, commentaries explained 9.32. We're on...
8.
Okay, so then it explained that the Avadhuta was Dattatreya, who gave instruction to King Yadu. Yeah, so then he's there, whatever, even he wished her well, that she's working so hard, becoming so frustrated, and then he's giving his well-wishing, then it has that effect. So you can see if she had some understanding, there's been association with you know, the Vedic literatures, the philosophy, you know, saintly persons before. Like that. So then she's able to apply this. That's where the importance of training. Then even if you can't apply it now, at some point you'll be able to apply it. Right? That's the idea.
Now it seems that she's very... she realizes what is a human life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And by her own experience.
Yes, yes.
The field. So it's like a strong realization that she gets.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Means one is heard, but now in this, then contemplating this and applying this, then they get that realization.
Yes.
Right? So she's taken whatever is there and then she's applying that. So that's the importance of manana. Because this is what she's doing. She's contemplating the real situation, the application, what satisfaction is there. And then from that, then she can understand that there's nothing here to be satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? Because the point goes, it's insignificant desires. The sense gratification, the material facilities, all these things are insignificant compared to the nature of the soul, what the soul is looking for, and what Krishna's position, what he offers in a relationship with the soul. So we see that this element of detachment and not seeing that there's any great value in that material situation or association, then that goes, whoever realizes that, then they'll have that same kind of realization. So you're seeing different kings, different personalities in different situations getting that realization. Right? So now we're seeing it through with Pingala. But it's the same principle. Is that material cannot satisfy the soul. Only the Lord can.
Can we summarize that detachment is following knowledge? Realization of knowledge?
I think they come together. Mm-hmm. Because by bhakti you get knowledge and detachment together. They come at the same time. And someone was discussing the other day that they're related to bhakti devi.
Yes.
Like
I heard they are like the children of bhakti.
Yes. It means that they come along.
Yes. You mentioned once that the Bhaktilata Kripa has two leaves. The first
yes.
leaves are Jnana and Vairagya.
Yes, the underside.
Underside.
Yeah, the top I think is something else.
Vishnu Chakravarti.
Yes, Vishnu Chakravarti, Madhuri Kadami.
Yes.
So that knowledge and detachment, they just come along with the Kripa. They're not the main effect. Yes. Mm-hmm. They're a side effect.
But here she did. It. It's not mentioned. She has discussion with him.
No, no, no. Maybe just by getting the blessings of him, got the great mercy. Because if he's happened to rest in her yard that night, and he's seeing her, and then she's just sitting and getting frustrated and trying so hard and coming and going and all that, and he's contemplating that how she's working so hard. But she's getting frustrated because she has an idea that she'll be happy, she'll be this and that, she'll get money, she'll go, but not, you know.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. So he can see, and so he's probably, you know, wishing her well, and then by that grace, then when she got totally frustrated, then she could then see in the proper light.
Yes.
Pingala continued. How I have uselessly tortured my own soul. I have sold my body to lusty, greedy men who are themselves objects of pity. Right? Because they are very proud and that they have their money, they're interested in enjoyment. But the point is they're objects of pity because they also don't know who they are. They're also suffering in the world. Thus, practicing the most abominable profession of a prostitute, I hope to get money and sex pleasure. This material body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms, legs are like the beams, cross beams, and pillars of the house. And the whole structure, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair, and nails. The nine doors leading into this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that she might find pleasure and love in this contraption? Certainly, in this city of Videha, I alone am completely foolish. I neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards us everything, even our original spiritual form, and instead I desired to enjoy sense gratification with many men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolutely the most dear one for all living beings, because he is everyone's well-wisher and Lord. He is the supreme soul situated in everyone's heart. Therefore, I will now pay the price of complete surrender. And thus, purchasing the Lord, I will enjoy with Him, just like Lakshmi Devi. Men provide sense gratification for women, but all these men, and even the demigods in heaven, have a beginning and an end. They are all temporary creations who will be dragged away by time. Therefore, how much actual pleasure or happiness could any of them ever give to their wives? Although I most stubbornly hope to enjoy the material world, somehow or another detachment has arisen in my heart, and it is making me very happy. Therefore, this, like I said, just by being around the spiritual master, you make advantage. You don't even know why. Like that. So here, if Dattatreya, you know, decided to take rest in her yard that night, that would happen to be the place, and then so by his blessings, then she's advancing. Right? Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, must be pleased with me, right? Because otherwise, why would there? The Videha is a big place. He could rest anywhere. So it must be there's something there that therefore the Lord, being kind upon her, then sent the sadhu, then with his well-wishing, then now she has this understanding. Because you have to remember, Krishna's in the heart, so he's always arranging.
The Brahman is saying, Yadu, that Pingla is a guru. And for Pingla, he is a guru. So like, means like,
means
gurus of each other.
Yeah, but he's learning these principles by seeing her and all those things like that. But at the same time, is then she's getting the benefit of his well wishes, so then she advances. Mike, they can't go on simultaneously. It's all a one way street.
We can.
Okay. Yeah.
I have personally myself experienced that by doing book distribution, sometimes in a place where there are prostitutes like that, many of them were understanding really what is life.
Yes.
And actually, many of them, I realize, they are taking books because they understand that they need to change their life and at least to get contact some information.
No, they're quite realistic.
Yes.
Like that. I mean, at least if they've been in the industry for a while.
Yes.
Right, because then there's more of a understanding.
Not mental.
Yeah, it means if they're fresh from the village, maybe not. But once they've been there for a while, then
yes.
The devotees used to have the temple in Amsterdam. The next block over was the famous red light district there, and so then sometimes they'd come by, you know, for the Sunday program. Sometimes when they have extra prasad, they take it over and distributed, you know, amongst them and all that. They were very happy. And I think even one of the book distributors there, he had an arrangement. I'm not sure if he dealt with the madame or with one of the ladies or what, that, you know, was for the marathon. You take these books and you distribute them. So then she saw that every customer bought a book. And then at the end, she'd give the money like this. So I think he did very well that that marathon. But yeah, they're quite realistic. They like sadhus, because that's the thing, is they're not controlled by them. So they respect that.
Yes.
Like that. So that they also respect chaste women.
Yes.
Like that. Because they know what, you know, what's going on. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, must be pleased with me. Without even knowing it, I must have performed some activities satisfying to him. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, discerning in this way, she glorifies her good fortune. O best of detached persons, today make my yard successful by your mercy. Come here and rest, eat and drink. Having addressed Dattatreya, who had arrived on his own, she began to clean and decorate the place at night. This is the explanation of some authorities. Right, so that means, not knowing, she just gave some facility in that to Dattatreya. And then because he was, you know, then resting and that peacefully in her yard, and it seems that he's given something to eat and drink. But then she just thinks he's a sadhu, and then she goes on with her business. But then, being such a great personality, then now she gets the you know, she's getting the benefit. So some authorities then bring this out as an explanation. So it's not just he's just seeing it and giving well wishes. She actually could render some service. Pingala continued. Person who has developed detachment can give up the bondage of material society, friendship, and love. And a person who undergoes great suffering gradually becomes, out of hopelessness, detached and indifferent to the material world. Thus, due to my great suffering, such detachment awoke in my heart. Yet, how could I have undergone such merciful suffering if I were actually unfortunate? Therefore, I am in fact fortunate to have received the mercy of the Lord. So she's seeing how that even though the unfortunate situation is actually the cause of her fortune. So in that way, she's fortunate. Otherwise, you know, the Lord's arranging these things. He must somehow or other be pleased with me, you know, he being Krishna. With devotion, I accept the great benefit that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Having given up my sinful desires for ordinary sense gratification, I now take shelter of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am now completely satisfied and have full faith in the Lord's mercy. Therefore, I will maintain myself with whatever comes of its own accord. I shall enjoy life only with only the Lord, because he is the real source of love and happiness. The intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by activities of sense gratification, and thus he falls into the dark well of material existence. Within that well, he is then seized by the deadly serpent of time. Right? So you fall into the dark well of material existence, right? And then you're seized by the deadly serpent of time, right? It's not just bad enough you fell in a dry well with no water. Then the deadly serpent of time then catches you, right? Who else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save the poor living entity from such a hopeless condition? Right? You don't get much worse than that, right? Being in a, you know, a dark well, you know, with dry well, nothing there, and then wrapped up with a serpent, right? You know, so then, yeah, but Krishna then he saves. When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time, he becomes sober and sane, and at the same time detaches himself from all material sense gratification. In that condition, the living entity is qualified to be his own protector. Right? Because qualified not because you'll protect from the material world, because you're always taking shelter of Krishna. So by the connection with Krishna, that gives the qualification. Right? Because the real protection is protection from Maya and absorption in Krishna.
She expressed a lot of humility.
Yes. Otherwise, how can you? Because if you have pride, can you be detached? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, one may question her motives. Will you worship the Lord with the idea of getting deliverance? Her answer is no. When the jiva becomes detached from all material enjoyment, since he sees the world devoured by time, at that time Atma is his own protection from samsara. It is not necessary for the Lord to do this. My Atma has this very nature. Thus I have been delivered from samsara automatically. I will then worship the Lord in prema alone. Right? So then one will just focus on that love for Krishna, that prema for Krishna. Right? One, and then the other things, you don't have to turn to the Lord for that. Just by being absorbed in the Lord, one naturally is not interested in the material world, so you're protecting yourself from there. And then the interaction with the Lord is just based on that pure love. The Avadhut said, thus her mind completely made up. Pingala cut off all her sinful desires to enjoy sex pleasure with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of the greatest happiness. Therefore, completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep. Right? So now she, you know, because there's no anxiety. Because otherwise, it said before, even she got facility, or, you know, people would come, she was still not satisfied. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. So now she's just going to sleep in perfect peace because now she's turned to Krishna. Conclusion. Only one who has given up material hankering can fix himself in meditation upon the personality of Godhead and achieve transcendental peace. Just left that dramatic pause to let it soak in, right? So we see is that giving up material hankering, then you can absorb yourself in the Lord. So we have to make that attempt. It's not that, oh, we just try to give up thinking about material but not cultivate the relationship with the Lord. No, the two happen simultaneously. You know, just like by eating, you know, you satisfy the taste, but you get rid of the hunger. You get nourished the body. All this comes automatically. So if we're trying to serve Krishna by fixing ourselves in his service, that means that we're not absorbed in the material aspects.
Yes.
Right? And then by that grace, then Krishna being pleased, then you'll be situated there.
Yes.
But you need to make that endeavor.
Yes.
Right? Krishna can remove so much anartas from the heart, but in that more purified state, you still have to make the endeavor to try to make it about Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. Because just because the heart's pure, that's not the thing. Because someday, oh, we just want to purify of sin. But the point is that will make you more pious, yes. But the point is are you going to use that? What are you going to do with that? Because
yes.
Otherwise, the demigods, Indra, the Prajapatis, they're greatly pious persons. But it's not necessarily that they're serving Krishna. So the focus has to be on serving Krishna. And to be absorbed there, then you have to give up the desire for material things. Right? So that if that sin goes away, that's because it helps in the other. It helps in Krishna consciousness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's important on its own. Only when you get pure, then you can be Krishna conscious. No. It starts. It's the nature of the living entity to be Krishna conscious. Whatever enjoyment is destined will automatically come. And thus one should not uselessly waste his life in worrying about such things. Right? You perform your duties. Whatever is going to come will come. And if you're thinking this and that, it just wastes your time. The sage does not become elated when he achieves desirable things, nor does he become distressed in their absence. Like you see, Yudhishthir attains all kinds of wonderful things or all kinds of disturbing things. Do we ever see him react?
No.
Right? That's sober. Right? You don't see him react.
He was controlling his mind.
Yeah. Because it's just because the situation will be used for Krishna. He has wealth, he'll use it for Krishna. He doesn't have wealth, then, you know, they don't have to maintain all that wealth, so then he can very happily sit and talk about Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It just means more time in the day to talk about Krishna. A person in the renounced order of life has the privilege of enjoying before anyone else the food and other valuable things purchased by the hard-earned money of the householders. Interesting aspect of the conclusion. Just wanted to bring that point out, just, you know.
I think it is. It was my choice, Mara.
Yeah, yeah. No, he just wants everyone to know. Just putting it out there, right? You know, so...
This is the third time.
It says, according to the Mimamsa, that whatever is repeated is very important.
Tatparyalingas.
Yes, the Tatparyalingas. That's why they're there. So next time when you're going to, sit down to that meal you've been planning and think you're going to enjoy, and then you hear a knock on the door, then here's the Praman. Any person who becomes attracted to any of the sense objects uselessly wastes his life. The intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by activities of sense gratification, and thus he falls into the dark well of material existence. Hopes for sense gratification are the root cause of all suffering, right? Because we're thinking we're going to enjoy something separate from Krishna, so that's sense enjoyment. It is connected to Krishna. It's called devotional service, right? That's why the original is Sayanamrita Pau, Mm-hmm. Some appreciate that, some don't. Saying Amrita Pau means to honor. But some will say, what in Bengal you eat is saying Amrita Kau. Right? Because eating is cow, you know? You eat. So some will say, you're going to eat the prasad. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out is you're honoring the prasad.
Yeah,
they're probably both right in different renditions. It'll have both. But the one probably gave us it has that same Amrita Pau. So, yeah. Just so that you remember that you're honoring prasad, not just eating. Of course, eating happens in the process of honoring. Honoring includes eating, but eating does not include honoring necessarily. Right? Hopes for sense gratification are the root cause of all suffering. Therefore, only one who has given up such hankering can fix himself in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieve transcendental peace. Right? So, that's the whole point. The transcendental platform means serving the Lord, absorbing oneself in the Lord, giving up the material platform. That's actually how things work. Right? And then, just as an evidence, as one aspect of an evidence that the Treya gave, then we see here is that people work so hard to get things to enjoy, but actually then, according to the rules, they're not the first one to enjoy it. You know, the brahmacharis, they come, the sannyasis come, they beg this and that. They're the ones that get first. Right? So that's the whole point, is that we're working very hard, thinking, I'll get this, I'll enjoy, but it doesn't work like that. Does that make sense?
So why do you work so much?
Yeah, so that's why one should absorb oneself in Krishna. So you work according to your duties. So if one's a householder, then one has an occupation or something, he works or does that, whatever the duties are. So everybody works, the Brahmins would also be, or they can just be absorbed in hearing and chanting and discussing, you know, about Krishna consciousness. You know, studying scripture, teaching scripture. They can do that. And just that and then whatever comes on its own.
Yes.
Right, because it's not like other things that you do something, there's a specific result gained.
Mm.
You know, you run the business, you get this, you do a job, you get paid.
Yes.
You know, so those kind of things. So this is just you perform the duties and then whatever comes. So that's what he's pointing out, is that whatever you do, you're going to get anyway.
Mm.
So you perform your duties, absorb yourself in Krishna, and whatever is due will come anyway. But, you know, much of the time we'll take it, oh, then I'll do nothing. But then you won't just do nothing. We won't be Krishna conscious. We'll just sit on the couch and watch TV all day. But that's doing something. So if you can do that, why wouldn't you do what's an actual, you know, occupation? You know what I'm saying? But what you'll get from that occupation, that's then up to Krishna. That's up to your samskar. And even you say is, no, but you see, he works hard, he has so much money, he's got so much bank balance and all that, can he take it with him?
Mm-hmm.
So you started off with nothing, you worked yourself up into millions and billions, but you can't take it with you. So did you need that much? That's the whole point. No, that it's just greed. So it's a waste of life. So it's just how much you require, you do, and you'll get.
What is the system arranged in the Veda about when there is children, heritage?
Children.
Well, because many people work half of the children of the family, you know? So
yeah.
What is the proportion according to the Veda?
Prabhupada recommends working 8 hours a day. More than that, you shouldn't, because then you're going to sleep, you're going to take your bath and all those things, you have to eat. You know, they're just ordinary things that you do. Then there's going to be, you know, your sadhana, like that, and then some time spent with the family. So more than that's not. So whatever comes in the 8 hours, we'll think, oh, but if we work more. But there's a good chance that these billionaires probably work less than 8 hours a day.
Yes, yes.
So it's not how much you work. So this idea, no, if I work more, I'll get more money. They're working more, they're getting more money, but they're supposed to get that money anyway. Because other people work that same amount, they could put in 12 hours a day and don't get that much money. You know, it's like we were saying, the guys on Marine Drive, they put in the 12 hours a day, they have plenty of money. And those beggars down on the street and all that, they put in also 12 hours a day begging and this and that, and they get less. And for whatever they're getting, and they're thinking, I'm doing so well, there's other people who are getting way more for the same endeavor. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you take one of the in the Middle East, one of those rich persons, all they have to do is, open the pipe, and the oil starts flowing. It just, it's like, every liter that goes, that's just money in his pocket. And he's doing nothing. So that's the whole point, is it just works like that. Is you're going to get whatever you do. So therefore you perform your duties. That's why it's so important that you work on that. Otherwise, what are you going to do? How do you define what you should do? So that's why the scriptures give what the duties are. You follow that. Right? As long as that situation is favorable for your position. Right? So as long as, householder life is favorable, you do that. As long as brahmacharis, you do that. As long, like this, you just are in that situation. And as long as it's there, then you follow that. And when it's not, then you move on. But the idea is that you have to know what you're doing so that you learn. So when you do move on, you've actually moved on. Right? So does that make sense? Not just, shit. Like that. Okay, so that then one achieves transcendental peace, and that transcendental peace, that's the position of being liberated. Right? Does that make sense? But we see here, because of the devotional points that are pointed out, what's the actual point of the peace is that relationship with the Lord, that surrender to the Lord. That's what's proving the peace. Because otherwise, it appears that even the impersonalists aren't actually have that peace that they're looking for. Otherwise, why would they come back?
Yes,
it's bhakti. As you see, it's always being referred to as worshipping the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that, surrender to Him, these aspects. So they weren't just talking, they weren't talking about Brahman or Paramatma. Krishna, the Supreme Personality as Paramatma, is sitting in your heart, but He's the person who's sitting in your heart. Right? So, it's chapter 9. Detachment from all that is material. Right? So now we've given this and that, so now just in general, the whole point is detachment from everything. Right? Pratigya. One who is sober should become devoid of material attachment and should always endeavor for the attachment of the highest goal. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 9th chapter, 7 gurus are described, starting with the Kurara bird, as well as the body, the 8th guru. This makes a total of 25 gurus. Sardartha Darshini 11.9.1. The instruction received from the Kurara bird is that attachment creates misery. But the person who is unattached and has no material possessions is qualified to achieve unlimited happiness. The Avadhuta Brahman learned from the foolish, lazy child that by becoming free from anxiety, a person becomes capable of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead and experiencing supreme ecstasy. The instruction received from the young girl who kept just one conch shell bracelet on each wrist is that one should remain alone and thus steady one's mind. Yeah, so this appears that the Vedic thing, unless Dattatreya happened to be in Bengal at the time, that the conch shell bracelets were more standard in the Vedic culture. Right? Then only will it be possible for one to fix one's mind completely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then either Dattatreya is a Gaudiya, or the Bengalis tend to follow a little bit more traditional Vedic things. Either one. We're good with either one. Once several men arrived to ask for the hand of the young girl, whose relatives had coincidentally left the house. She went inside and began to prepare food for the unexpected guest by beating rice. At that time, her conch shell bracelets were making a loud noise, rattling against each other. And in order to stop this sound, she broke off the bracelets one by one, till at last only one remained on each arm. Just as two or more bracelets make noise, even if two persons reside in the same place, what to speak of many, there's every chance of mutual quarrel and useless gossip. Right, so let's just talk about Krishna, then yes. The Avadhuta Brahman. also received instruction from the arrow maker, who was so absorbed in constructing an arrow that he did not even notice that the king was passing right by him on the road. In the same way, one must strictly control one's mind, concentrating in the worship of Lord Hari. Right? Otherwise, you get so absorbed in your duties that you forget about the Lord. You know, one has to... The Avadhuta Brahman learned from the serpent that a sage should wander alone, should not live in any prearranged place, should be always careful and grave, should not reveal his movements, should take assistance from no one, and should speak little. Right, because this means whatever's going on, then that's what's happening. You may have an idea, you're doing it. So unless someone is actually needs to be part of that understanding, there's no need to talk, just to use it as discussion. It's that. It's just whatever's there. Right? Because the point is, you're going to do something, then it's something connected to Krishna, so you don't talk about it, it happens. You know? When you talk about it, then technically it's been accomplished by the speaking, so it may not happen. Like that. So unless it's someone who's involved in how that happens, you know, is part of the process of that particular thing happening, then it's not necessary that you talk to others about it. That's the Vedic rule in general. That's just niti. So then, let alone someone who's just absorbed in Krishna, because you don't need to talk about it. Otherwise, people just use that opportunity to talk all kinds of funny stuff.
Yes.
We see that the instructions continue, but they're grouped in several chapters. There is a meaning to that? That it's not put in one chapter?
No, because that ends the one thing, so this will be a different flavor or something? Because this detachment from all that is material?
Oh, so he groups them.
Yeah, it's just that. Because you're discussing certain things, because he has all these gurus, so then he's discussing it like this. So this must be the end of one aspect of a presentation, and another. The instruction obtained from the spider who spins his web from his mouth and then withdraws it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead similarly creates from out of himself the whole universe and then winds it up into itself. Right? So that's... One may say, well, that's philosophy, we know that, you know, what's the big deal? But the other schools of philosophy, other than Vaishnavas, don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
They're always trying to make it that it doesn't come from him, he's not the creator, all these different things.
Yes.
Because they'll see a flaw in the material world, so it can't be on God, you know, or if it does come from God, so he's the one to blame, not me. You know, so it's all these weirdo kind of things.
Catholics say that he creates himself out of nothing. It's nothing.
Oh, out of nothing, yeah, because it's not from himself. Yeah, because there's always the point is that the material world's defective and therefore God's defective. But at the same time, if they're enjoying, then they don't even, one, don't think about the defectiveness, and so there's no blame, and two, they don't think about God. So you only think of God when things are going wrong, right, in disappointment, and then you want to blame someone for the disappointment. So to avoid blaming God, then he's, you know, aloof from it, he's detached from it, he created from nothing, having created it, he has nothing to do with it. Otherwise, if he does, then why are all these things going wrong?
Yeah, that's true, they have the problem with evil, but they never speak about the problem with the good.
Yeah. So that's the, yeah, Maharaj, I'm of good and evil, but otherwise it's just of evil. Yeah. From the weak insect who assumed the same form as the Peshashkrit wasp, the Avadhut Brahman learned that the living entity, under the sway of affection, hatred, and fear, attains his next life, the identity of that object upon which he fixes his intelligence. Right? Because affection, hatred, fear, these are the ways one goes out of the body. Right? For the materialist.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he's going to think of someone who has affection for, like his mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, or family members like that, or hatred that they don't like, or fear,
mm-hmm.
like this. And so because of that, then it produces their next the identity in the next life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So for the devotee, they, out of affection, remember Krishna,
yes.
take shelter of Krishna. They conquer fear, they conquer hate, Seeing that the fragile material body is subject to birth and death, one who is sober should become devoid of material attachment to this body and should properly utilize the rare gift of human life in the pursuit of knowledge, endeavoring always for the achievement of the highest goal. Sloka Anusharana. Summary of verses. The Guru is found in nature. Continued. And 24 to 33, what the Avadhut Brahman learned from his body. Right, because that's the point Krishna is making, is that if one is very aware, one can even, the body is even guru, because you can learn so much just how the material nature works in the body and how you cannot be satisfied. Verses 1 to 23. The guru is found in nature, continued. The saintly Brahman said, everyone considers certain things within this material world to be most dear to him. And because of attachment to such things, one eventually becomes miserable. But because they always change, something goes away, something doesn't work, it's something, it's always moving on. Like as each generation is always thinking when they were young was better and now it's worse. And the kids are all fired up about that, and the parents are saying, this is nothing when I was a kid. And then their parents are saying, that's nothing when I was a kid. Does that make sense? It's always... You always become disappointed. One who understands this gives up material possessiveness and attachment and thus achieves unlimited happiness. But once a group... Because then you can connect yourself to Krishna. Right? So when you say unlimited happiness, what is unlimited happiness? Brahman is unlimited, but can the jiva experience unlimited happiness in Brahman? No. Because you're situated in Brahman, but you're not actually absorbed in, there's no relationship. You just happen to be there. But when you have a relationship with Krishna, then he being unlimited, therefore you're in touch with the unlimited ocean of rasa. Once a group of large hawks who are unable to find any prey attacked each other. Once a group of large hawks who were unable to find any prey attacked another weaker hawk who was holding some meat. At that time, being in danger of his life, the hawk gave up his meat and experienced actual happiness. Because then all those guys will fight over that and they'll kill each other and he'll be off. Okay, I'm good. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, he explains that he learned from the Kurara bird in two verses, from attachment to what is most dear, one suffers. He who is without desire is learned and attains unlimited happiness. Right, so this is what these great personalities see in the material world when they see things. We might not see that, but that's what he sees from this. The Brahman continued, in family life, the parents are always in anxiety about their home, children, and reputation. But I have nothing to do with these things. I do not worry at all about any family, and I do not care about honor and dishonor. I enjoy only the life of the soul, and I find love on the spiritual platform. Thus I wander the earth like a child. In this world, two types of people are free from all anxiety and merged in great happiness. One who is a retarded and childish fool, and one who has approached the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. The Prabhupada says, he is the fool and the Paramahamsa. These two are happy in the world. No. So that's the whole point, is there's no social prestige in either end, so they go for the middle, but then you suffer, so... The Brahmin continued. Once a marriageable young girl was alone in her house. Right, so that means that was connected there. So the point is because of having that attachment, possessiveness, therefore they're suffering. He has no attachment, no possessiveness, therefore he doesn't suffer. So he wanders around just like a child. Because a child has nothing to do. They move around, there's nothing to accomplish. Right? They just, whatever situation they're in, they try to see how it connects to them and their mentality. So if you are absorbed in Krishna, then whatever situation you're in, you see how it connects to Krishna. So that's being like a child, right?
And also that a child is always helpless and depends on the parents. So he's depending on Krishna.
Okay, yes, yes. And the sadhu is always dependent on the Lord. Once a marriageable young girl was alone in her house because her parents and relatives had gone that day to another place. At that time, a few men arrived at the house, specifically desiring to marry her. Few men. Okay. She received them with all hospitality. The girl went to a private place and began to make preparations so that the unexpected male guest could eat. As she was beating the rice, the conch shell bracelets on her arms were colliding and making a loud noise. Unless it's Rajasthan, because I think they wear a huge amount of them, all the way up the arm. The young girl feared that the men would consider her family to be poor because their daughter was busily engaged in the menial task of husking rice. Being very intelligent, the shy girl broke the shell bracelets from her arms, leaving just two on each wrist. Thereafter, as the young girl continued to husk the rice, the two bracelets on each wrist continued to collide and make noise. Therefore, she took one bracelet off each arm. With only one left on each wrist, there was no more noise. O subduer of the enemy, I travel throughout the surface of the earth, learning constantly about the nature of this world, and thus I personally witness the lesson of the young girl. When many people live together in one place, there will undoubtedly be quarreling. And even if only two people live together, there will be frivolous conversation and disagreement. Therefore, to avoid conflict, one should live alone, as we learned from the example of the bracelet of the young girl. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Just as the poor girl without a husband took off her bracelets to stop the sound, jnana yoga makes the sages who practice jnana live alone. Just as a married princess, on meeting her husband, wears her bracelets for making sound, Bhakti Devi makes the devotees who accept her shelter associate with other devotees for making sounds of sweeter and sweeter Nam Kirtan. They do not remain alone. The Lord has said. So if to stop material talking, you live alone. But then to encourage Krishna conscious discussion, then Bhakti Devi brings them all together to make more and more sound. Right? These devotees who are engaged in my service to my feet, following scriptural rules, who desire only the taste of my beauty, who gathering together, relish my pastimes amongst themselves, never desire to become one with Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-34. Right? Desire only the taste of my beauty. Remember, form. That's the first natural. Yes. Mm-hmm. These devotees... Oh, okay, we said that. Yeah, and they're not interested in becoming one with Brahman, so liberation is not of interest to them. So you see, when they're talking about that being freed from all these things, or being eternally happy, or on the unlimited path, they're meaning in Krishna consciousness. Because that's the point. The devotees aren't interested in liberation. Mm. It's boring. It's just the situation. Right? The Brahmana continued. Having perfected the yoga sitting postures and conquered the breathing process, one should make the mind steady by detachment and the regulated practice of yoga. Thus, one should carefully fix the mind on the single goal of yoga practice. The mind can be controlled when it's fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so if you have more things as goals, it will also create a problem. So if there's only Krishna, then everything can be connected to Krishna, but it's all about Krishna. Then there's no problem. Yes. Right? Yes. But if you have Krishna and something else, then there'll always be a clash.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Having achieved a stable situation, the mind becomes free from polluted desires to execute material activities. Because when it's that's the other point of regulation in the Vedas. Because then the mind can be fixed in that, and it doesn't get distracted by... what did you share? Freed from polluted desires to execute material activity. So these things come up not because you have your service that you're doing, then you fix on that. It doesn't go off. Does that make sense? That's the other aspect of the regulation. It creates an environment in which the mind can be steady. Thus, as the mode of goodness increases in strength, one can completely give up the modes of passion and ignorance. And gradually one transcends even the material mode of goodness, right? So, but who's able to do this nicely and pleasantly? That's the devotee.
Yes.
So they get situated in goodness because they're cultivating pure goodness, but they're not situated in pure goodness all the time. Right? But they with time become give up passion and ignorance. They're situated in goodness, and then from there to pure goodness and back. And eventually then it just the pure goodness becomes the situation.
Yes.
When the mind is freed from the fuel of the modes of nature, right? Because things burn by fuel, right? Yeah. The fire of material existence is extinguished. Right, so the fire of material existence is fired by the modes of nature, so material desire. When one gives up material desire, what's going to feed the fire of material existence? Right? It'll just go out. Yeah. Right, so this idea of fire going out, and it's also in our philosophy. Just when it goes out, then you'll be left with spiritual, you know, life, not nothing. When one achieves the transcendental platform of direct relationship with the object of his meditation, the Supreme Lord, then one achieves the transcendental position of direct relationship with the object of his meditation, the Supreme Lord. So that means he's always meditating on the Lord, and that becomes more and more prominent with time. Thus, when one's consciousness is completely fixed on the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one no longer sees duality or internal and external reality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You just see things according to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Not that, okay, there's the internal reality, then there's what's happening outside.
Yes. Yes.
You just deal with everything as you see it.
Yes.
You know, in Krishna consciousness. So then there's no, you don't have the, you know, that, oh my God, this guy, when is he going to say, oh, hi, yeah, well, you know, yeah, you don't get that. You know? The example is given of the arrow maker, who is so absorbed in making a straight arrow that he did not even see or notice the king himself, who was passing right next to him. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura writes, he learned fixing the mind from the arrow maker. This is explained in three verses. The mind is unsteady because of the strength of attachment. Therefore, one must make the mind steady by detachment, vairagya, and practice of dharana, of astanga yoga mixed with bhakti. Right, so the technique is you're meditating on the Lord by giving up the sense objects, but you're meditating on Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that technique is explained there, though it's the natural position of bhakti.
Mm.
Does that make sense? We don't take up Astanga Yoga, it's just that Astanga, the eight positions of yoga, we perform all those. Just we do all them in connection with Krishna. So you become situated, right? It's saying you become steady, right? So that's asana. That's the whole point of asana. It becomes steady, fixed, right? Then one controls the activities, right? So you're fixed in the thing, you control the activities, then from controlling the activities, then you can pull in the senses so that they're not on anything other than Krishna. Then having pulled in the senses, then one can start to focus. That focus, that becomes meditation, that becomes samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's the same process, just we don't have to... how you say it? We don't have to sit like a pretzel. We can offer and eat pretzels, like we, you know. So our process is so much easier. Right? Yes. When the mind attains its goal, it gives up desires for action, destroying rajas and tamas by the increase of sattva. One attains a condition devoid of extraneous actions of the mind, free of agitation and sloth, and attains supreme bliss, nirvanam, because of disappearance of even sattva. The mind is without fuel, since it's devoid of the gunas and their effects. Right, so you can see is that this is the point that these impersonal schools and that, and you know, and voidists, they take this off. They don't understand is, yeah, mind's without fuel because you're on the transcendental platform. They just take it to that situation where you get rid of all this and the fire of material existence goes out, that that's the goal. No, it's to be absorbed in Krishna.
Yes.
You understand? So all, that's the point is that there's nothing in the different philosophies that doesn't have its position. It's just that their conclusion about how they want to use it is wrong. They take that a particular function is complete in itself, but no, its connection to Krishna, that's what makes it complete.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nandini.